remaining case is number 053192, Wright against the Merit Systems Protection Board. Is Mr. Stewart arrived? Mr. Gallagher, would you come forward, please? Is Mr. Stewart in the room? Please. Mr. Stewart, please proceed when you're ready.
Yes, Ian Stewart appearing on behalf of the appellant Lewis Wright. This involves a dismissal for failure to assert jurisdictional grounds before USERRA. I think, in reading the judge's opinion, that he was persuaded by opposing counsel that what was at stake here in this matter was the fact that this man had a disability unrelated to his work, and that's why he was being discriminated against. Certainly that was a factor, but this gentleman was being discriminated against repeatedly by being with abusive language, being denied access to job bidding and overtime, and finally, after quite a few months of that, he went into retirement because he couldn't continue under those circumstances. So I think it's not one where, because he had the service-related disability from his military time, that they were discriminating against that alone. That was part of the motivation, because from the very beginning he was given a 10-point advantage to get the job. He had to get counsel at that time to get admitted into the post office for the job he had, and the problems continued. Factually, he was abused. He was called a psycho vet by his supervisor, and both verbally and in reports written to the OWP. He was victimized by these things on a daily basis. Now, it's admittedly, he did have, or they didn't accommodate him for his service-connected disability. I didn't find an accommodation for him, but that was just part of it, and certainly it's part of the overall picture. And I think the judge just glanced over that. He didn't really consider the factors that were in the record related to Mr. Wright's problems that he was having or had had at work while he was still working. And I think clearly there should have been an opportunity for him to have a hearing on the merits, where the denials advanced by the respondents were subject to cross-examination. When they took the record down and they just disregarded what he said as not being proved, well, I think we need a hearing to show that, and that would be my position, really, with this.
Mr. Stewart, what about in the AJ's decision? I'm looking here, I guess, at A60 of the Joint Appendix. He says that the agency moved to dismiss the appeal for lack of jurisdiction. I held a conference call with the parties on March 23rd, 2004 to discuss the issue of jurisdiction, and then he says, and this is the key sentence at least, during the conference the appellant stated that his claim was that he was forced to retire due to discrimination based on his service-connected disability.
I didn't pick that up when I got this thing, and that's an overstatement. That's not why he was forced to retire, because of his service-based disability.
The AJ is saying here that Mr. Wright stated that he was claiming that he was forced to retired due to discrimination based on service-connected disability. In other words, the AJ is saying, here's what Mr. Wright is contending. Are you saying the AJ is wrong in characterizing Mr. Wright's contention?
Yes, I am. That's not the reason he retired. It was one of the reasons he was retired. But the reason he retired is because of the problems he was having at work with this particular supervisor.
No, but what is there in the record to show that, I mean, the AJ is saying they had a conference and this is what Mr. Wright said. Are you saying Mr. Wright didn't say what the AJ says here?
Yeah, I am saying that, Your Honor.
And what do you have any basis for that?
Well,
I mean, I understand the argument you're making, but you do have this statement here where the AJ says, here's what Mr. Wright says was his contention. Now, you're saying, no, that's not correct. But what do you point to support your claim that the AJ got it wrong when he characterized Mr. Wright's position?
Well, on A12, there's the addendum that went along with the original filing, which, quote, workplace harassment and mistreatment has caused severe emotional harm and resulted in a constructive dismissal. That was certainly asserted.
Right, that seems to be consistent with what Mr. What the AJ is saying Mr. Wright said at page A60, where he says he said that it was due to discrimination, which is referenced at A12, based on his disability. That's the only thing that's a problem, a little bit, I think, from the standpoint of your case, because you have the AJ saying, here's what Mr. Wright says is his argument.
Yeah, I agree that's a problem, Your Honor, but I can only tell you that I didn't hear him say that, and it was my mistake in not picking that. In other words, I had an opportunity to write and correct that colloquy that the judge put into effect, and I missed that. I didn't do that, and I should have done. But he never said that.
Did you file a response to the judge's request? Is there any response filed?
Well, there's a couple of documents in here dealing with jurisdiction, but no, to answer your question.
Because the AJ specifically says on page A60, I directed the appellant to file a response to the agency's motion to be received by April 1. He filed no response.
No, I did not file a response, but there was responses in there already in the initial filing and then the subsequent addendum that I was just reading from here, which seem to cope or deal with that problem, but apparently did not.
You're saying you relied on the original submissions that had already been filed.
That's correct. That's what I did. So there is the problem the court mentioned with the judge's observation about what my client allegedly said. I think the judge was mistaken. He didn't say that. His constructive dismissal was as a result of the harassment he was receiving starting from the beginning when he came on board with the preference as being a veteran. And it seemed to, according to my client, seemed to have got under the supervisor's skin that had taken place. And he really gave him a tough time. So tough that in the end he just quit.
Okay, we'll save the rest of your time for rebuttal, Mr. Stewart.
May it please the court. This case has to be viewed by what was before the administrative judge. And the story that counsel just shared was not a story that was shared with the administrative judge. The appeal that was received was an appeal form with the USERRA box checked off. And attached to the appeal form were two decisions dealing with Mr. Wright's worker compensation claims. Those decisions did not mention anything about military discrimination based on military service. Now, faced with an appeal that is vague and uncertain, the administrative judge had a twofold task. First, to figure out what Mr. Wright's claim was, and second, to determine if the board had jurisdiction over Mr. Wright's claim. So the administrative judge, in his acknowledgement order, ordered Mr. Wright to file evidence and argument relating to how the board had jurisdiction over his claim and what the claim was about. In response, Mr. Wright submitted a one-sentence statement saying that this was a USERRA claim. Well, the administrative judge then held a conference call to try to clarify exactly what it was that Mr. Wright was alleging that would fall within USERRA. And so, in the record, we have the summary of the conference call. And in that summary, the administrative judge clearly directs Mr. Wright to... Well, first, the administrative judge sets out the criteria necessary for asserting a USERRA claim, and then directs Mr. Wright to respond to that criteria and to respond to a pending motion to dismiss that the Postal Service had filed. And in that motion, the Postal Service had also set out the criteria for USERRA and had asserted that Mr. Wright had failed to mention anything about discrimination based on his military service. Mr. Wright did not respond to the administrative judge's order.
What about the statement, the Psycho Beck statement?
That was not...
Is that a reference back to his military service?
It would be, but that statement was not made to the administrative judge, before the administrative judge. That was raised for the first time on administrative petition for review before the board, and was never made to the administrative judge. It was made for the first time in the petition for review and then repeated here today. Also, today is the first time that Mr. Wright or his counsel have disputed the summary of the conference call that the administrative judge held. So, I mean...
Well, there were two calls.
Excuse me. If the board then misread the statement, but the cycle that is not allowing it to send it back, at least to have the preliminary hearing on jurisdiction, just based on that, and we reverse it and let the board reconsider the cycle vet statement? Because it was raised before the board.
It's raised before the board, but not the administrative
judge. Not before the AJ.
Right.
You're saying you still lose your... Couldn't that be any new evidence that would be submitted to the board?
Well, it wasn't
reconsideration?
It wasn't new evidence. It was... I mean, he was saying that this happened back before 1997, that this statement by a supervisor, the name-calling, occurred before 1997. So this wasn't new evidence or a new allegation or a new issue. I mean, this was something that was readily available that could have been alleged before the administrative judge. And this case has to be viewed by what was in front of the administrative judge. And that was not... That statement was never... made in the proceedings before the administrative judge, and the administrative judge gave Mr. Wright ample opportunities to expand on his allegations. You know, from the acknowledgement order ordering him to respond on the issue of jurisdiction to the actual conference call where there was an opportunity to discuss the jurisdictional issues, and then finally ordering him in the summary of the conference call to respond to a pending motion to dismiss for lack of jurisdiction. And so there, the opportunities were there before the administrative judge, and there's no reason, you know, why this would be asserted the first time before the full board. And under the board's procedures, unless it's a newer material evidence that's discovered and that was not readily available despite due diligence on the part of the appellant, then it's not... You know, you're not permitted to raise a new claim at that point.
Well, that was material evidence, though, wasn't it? Would that be sufficient to establish jurisdiction?
Well, it might be material, but it's not new. Oh, would if he had asserted that before the administrative judge? If he had asserted, well, it would be a much closer case if he had made those allegations before the administrative judge. The board has
at least for jurisdictional purposes.
For jurisdictional purposes. It would be much closer because the board has recognized USERRA claims based on harassment, pervasive harassment, which affects a person's working conditions. And so if those allegations had been made before the administrative judge, you know, given the broad construction of allegations under USERRA, that may have been enough. But those allegations were not made before the administrative judge.
Well, so shouldn't the full board have filled that gap? I mean, they're not an appellate body from the administrative judge. The administrative judge is a fact-finding arm of the board. If, in fact, it would have turned the tide, I guess I haven't really thought through whether on this record it might have turned the tide. But then wasn't there an obligation on the board to give the administrative judge the opportunity to consider the evidence?
The board has practice and procedures, and those procedures are in the regulations. And
the so they encourage bringing the full case before the AJ, I agree, but I don't know if they have a procedure which says we, the board, are a fancy appellate body and we're not going to permit new evidence. In fact, I think the board's boilerplate says that if there's new evidence, they may be more likely to take something up rather than otherwise.
Right, if there was new evidence. There was no new evidence before the full board. And, I mean, the board does...
Let's just assume this is new evidence.
Okay.
But we know, accepting it wasn't before the AJ. So it was new. You might say it's not evidence, or it wouldn't have changed the tide. But I think I heard you say I'm not holding you to any concession. I think we're all concerned that this does relate specifically to the military status, the psycho vet.
Oh, right.
You say, your position, I guess, Mr. Gardner, is that this was new evidence in the sense that it was presented for the first time, but it wasn't newly discovered evidence.
Right, exactly.
In that it wasn't unavailable before.
Right, exactly. It was not previously unavailable before the close of the record, I mean, prior to the close of the record. And so, I mean, I guess in terms of what procedures the board has as an appellate body, it does have authority to reopen, and in reopening and making that decision, it has to weigh finality versus finding the correct result. But here, I mean, based on what was before the administrative judge reached the correct result. What was before the administrative judge was that this was a disability claim. And under USERRA, the board doesn't have jurisdiction over a pure disability claim. It has to be as part of the motive. The motive has to be to discriminate based on military service. And that allegation was not made before the close of the record in this case. Because the petitioner did not make non-frivolous allegations that he suffered discrimination based on his prior military service, the board properly dismissed the appeal for lack of jurisdiction. Unless there's any other questions.
No questions. Thank you, Mr.
Chairman.
Thank you, Your Honor. Mr. Stewart, you have some rebuttal time.
I think counsel is missing the direction. Because when the application or the notice was filed with USERRA or with the board in connection with that, the addendum that was attached to that filing set forth, and that's at A20, at A12, set forth the claims of discrimination. It doesn't say it was because of a disability. The disability papers that were attached were the papers that were filed was so the record was complete so that the other side could see what was in fact incurred or had incurred.
But it doesn't say discrimination by virtue of being a veteran or military service. It just says he was discriminated against.
Yeah.
Is that right?
At
A12.
The addendum that I'm talking about is at A12,
yes.
And I'm reading from about the third line down where it starts, however, workplace harassment and mistreatment caused severe emotional harm and resulted in a constructive dismissal. I don't say post office in that group of words, but the preamble to what was going on, it's obviously a claim against the post office for the work-related harassment that led him to quit. He quit, of course, but we characterize that as a constructive dismissal because the conditions for him at the time were so unbearable. He just couldn't go on with it. That's why he quit. And I think that this addendum was filed with the paperwork. So the judge, the administrative law judge, had this paperwork. I'm not sure we discussed it any further than it was filed, but he certainly had the paperwork. If he didn't consider it, which I don't think he did, then the decision was not favorable. He construed it that what was before the panel was going to be the fact that he was disabled, he had a disablement which was rejected by the post office, and that wasn't what this was about. And I don't think it could be construed, if you look at this and give it its liberal construction, then I don't think it can be construed that way. I think clearly he was complaining about his problems at work. They didn't provide him any accommodation for his injury or reassessment or give him a job that he could take that into consideration. But that's not the injury itself, and that's not what this is about. This is about the conditions of his place of employment that led to his demise. If there's necessary questions, I'll allow.
Any more questions? Questions for Mr. Stewart? Thank you, Mr. Stewart.
Thank you, ma'am.
And thank you, Mr. Case is taken in.